And today's topic is asking for support. What does that really mean? Different than receiving support, I think there's, or even offering support, right? There's a lot of that goes on. There's, especially here in Bali, so many of us are people that are caretakers. We care for the world. We care for each other. We have big hearts. And so we're often giving. We're always wanting to be the one that takes care of others and holds others, make sure that everybody else is okay. But do you ask for the support that you need? Do you drop in and actually realize that you're worthy of it? That every single one of us has that ability to simply request when we need support. But it gets a little tricky, partly because the mind gets involved, but also because depending on where you're asking from will determine how you receive. Not what you receive, but how you receive. And what I mean by that is a lot of times we get into a place, whether it's a self-perpetuating philosophy and story that we're telling ourselves about who we are and what we deserve or don't deserve, or if we're in a place of desperation or a place of anger, and then we go and we're asking for help, but we're not really asking, we're demanding. You guys know what I mean by that? Either you or maybe a friend or family member has done this before, where they get to that place where like, yeah, but you're supposed to help me. You're my partner, you're my friend, you're my family member, mother, my child, my whatever. You're supposed to do that. This immediately creates barriers. Because when we come with a demand, an expectation, an obligation for another, then what we're doing is we're creating a pressure there for them to help change or fix you. And there's nothing to fix. That's the trickiest part of it all. Even when we're in the deepest places of emotion and things that might be challenging us, there's nothing to fix because nothing's broken. But what there might be is a shift in how you're experiencing these things, in moving out of the things that you may not want to be experiencing. But it doesn't mean that anything is broken. We get into the personality or identity that says, I must have done something wrong or am doing something wrong, and that's why my life isn't exactly the way I want it. How many of you had that voice in your mind that you were self-judging and thinking that you weren't enough or you weren't worthy? Yeah, a lot of us. I would venture to say all of us at some point in our lives for sure. I'm going to say something a little counterintuitive right now, that it's true. You're not enough. Whoa, scary to say. But it's not because of who you are. If you are 100% authentically expressing who you are, that's 100%. The math is there. You're enough. But we're not normally 100%. We've divided ourselves, fragmented, separated out into all sorts of different masks and roles and histories and memories and traumas and projections and mostly protections. We've placed so much of ourselves into the barriers that we put up as our boundaries, into every brick, every chain link of a fence, every barbed wire, every alligator in a moat. I know some of you got like full-on moats and drawbridges and dragons. Because at some point in our lives, or maybe even currently, and I hope this isn't the case for anybody, you were actually in a danger, whether that was physically, emotionally, or mentally. Mentally is about your identity. And so you created a boundary, a barrier to protect yourself. But the problem with barriers or walls is that it keeps everybody out, including those that might support you. And then you isolate yourself and hide behind these walls of your protections, but they become a cage instead of a benefit, a blessing. Now I'm not saying drop all your walls and all your protections. There are some you might need. But instead, what I'm inviting you to is, instead of making barriers, create clarity. I'm going to explain what I mean by that. I'll say it again. Instead of creating barriers, create clarity to make your boundaries. The wall keeps everybody out, and it isolates you. And it also diminishes you, because a piece of you is the wall. You are the shield. Clarity is to actually let the world around you, within the safety of an environment, know who you are, what you need, what you want. That's clarity. It's like being a lighthouse rather than a wall. Shine brightly as who you are rather than trying to hide who you don't think is acceptable. I'm walking slowly on this path because I know this is a pretty touchy one. Especially we look out into the world right now and there's so much mental health issues and also emotional and nervous system deregulations coming from different traumas and stories and issues that we're all living through in different ways. And so as I continue, again, I really invite you, if you guys have questions or comments, just raise your hand and bring it in. But this idea of creating clarity rather than walls, so important. Because when we create the walls, what we're doing is, one, like I said, we're dividing ourselves up. We're putting it all into these walls, and then we look back at what's left inside the wall, the piece that we're trying to protect, and it's only like 5 or 10% that's left. Of course you're going to think it's not enough. And most of us, I don't think that the thing that you've buried deep inside is the piece that you're most proud of. It's probably the piece that you've been judging, that you had shame around, and you were hiding. Which means, again, you look back at that, and you're going, well, that's not worthy. You see how we start to create these pictures of ourselves, and then because of it, we start thinking, well, I don't even deserve to be supported. I don't deserve to have blessings in my life. I don't deserve to have what I see other people have. Illusions of your own mind because you're looking at just a fragment. It's like if you looked at an Instagram account and you thought that that was the reality of that person's life. You guys know it's not, right? It's a piece, tiny little piece with filters. The reality of all of our lives is that there are so many other pieces, and sometimes they're super positive and great, and other times, like I said, the valley, they're deep in the vulnerabilities of challenge and struggle and emotion, and they're all part of the balance of it. But until we take that whole picture and integrate, you guys heard this word in your self-discovery and personal development journeys, integration, so key. To give space, not activity, but space and stillness for the things that you are active in to integrate. For the histories and the traumas and the past to integrate. Most people, when they come to me, I have a healing center down the street. And when I do one-on-ones with people, they're coming often because they've got some trauma or emotional issues that are going on. And they come and they're like, help me get rid of it. I said, well, when did it happen? Oh, years ago. I said, I can't. That's years ago. I don't have a time machine. It went away back then. What you're carrying now is a story about it. And the reason of that story to give you those walls that you're continuing to carry. So integration isn't about fixing or healing or changing something. It's about bringing it back into balance because it's there. It's a piece of you at this point, but you've got to balance it. So we start to do this and as I was starting to come to this idea that, you know, how we ask for help or where we're asking for help from is how we're going to receive the support. And again, if you're coming from a place where you're already on a, let's say you're on a lifeboat and it's already starting to sink, well, now you're going to have desperation and you're going to be demanding and panicking to try to get people to help you. And some will, and that's wonderful. But it's kind of like a lifeguard that's gone into the water and is trying to help somebody safely come to shore, and they're kicking and screaming and panicking and taking them down with them. You guys know what I mean with that? So often people will be in their desperations, their fears, their stories, their experiences and traumas, and it's coming up. And then when they ask for help and help comes, they rebut it, fight it, argue, battle. That's the kicking and screaming that takes all parties down. So I like to say that when asking for support, one of the best things that we can do, let me turn this up a little bit, one of the best things that we can do is to come with humility and patience. Is to come with humility and patience. Now, patience requires trust. When you're in a boat and it feels like it's sinking, do you think you're going to be patient? Probably not, right? You're like, I don't have time, I'm going down. What do you mean patience? And humility is to receive whatever support is offered, whether it's big or small. But a lot of times, again, if we're in that place where we're desperate and we're just trying to avoid the discomforts of life or the challenges or, again, the dangers. Now, again, if you're in an actually dangerous situation, get yourself out of that first. Get into safety. From safety, you can start to ask for support and move through the rest of the stuff. I'll give you a different analogy for that. Imagine a dog that's walking across the street and it almost gets hit by a car. The first thing the dog does, it finishes walking across the street, right? It gets all the way back to safety. It doesn't stand in the middle of the road thinking about, ooh, that was close. Oh, let me just sit here and ponder that for a bit. It gets out of the danger. And then from there, it does a second thing that we don't really do as human beings, but most other animals do it. It does this. It goes, it shakes it out, releases it, expresses it somehow. We human beings, we stub our toe and we're like, whoa! We'll save it for later. Just in case that piece of furniture's there again. And I'll know it, because I'll always remember that feeling. And then that's the piece that you're holding onto. And then that's the piece that's causing your nervous system now to continue to be afraid and to continue to need more barriers and walls and protections. And all of a sudden, you're being depressed by all the things that you've accumulated to try to keep yourself safe, but you're not actually moving to safety. So yeah, first step, find safety. And the easiest way that I can describe what that means is when you can feel at ease, right? It might be in the presence of a trusted friend, or a professional, or family member, or it might be in a certain environment where you know that you have a sense of the environment. It makes you feel calm. It could be in a meditation where you take yourself into a visualization of that. But wherever it is, find that safety first. Because that way you come out of that desperation mode, out of that panic. So that when you ask for help, you can be patient. And you can be humble. Now, when we're asking for help to try to get ourselves back to neutral or back to a place where we're not, feeling any lack or scarcity, but rather we're ready to grow, right? So if we're still in the other part of it, in the healing part of it, the reintegration part of it, that's where we really can't be beggars that choose. We ask for help and we receive what's given, unless it's unsafe or it's causing more harm. You don't want that. But you receive what's given. And the point I'm trying to make here is, a lot of times when we ask for help and maybe somebody says, oh, well, have you tried this? Or actually a good example, many years ago, this I think was actually in Mexico, a beggar had come up and he came up to the window of my car and he was begging for money. And I said, I don't have any money to give you, but I just went grocery shopping. Here, I'll give you some bread. I'll give you some food. And he's like, okay, yes, food. That'd be nice. And I give him this loaf of bread, and he looks at it, and it wasn't the brand that he likes. And he threw it on the ground. He's like, I don't need this crap. And he walked away. I was like, what? This is what I mean by when you ask for something, and then you're offered something in return, even if it's not exactly what you needed or wanted, but maybe it was building towards it, or at least it was something, or at least it was the gesture. Be grateful for that and receive that peace. Because what you're doing at the same time, you're doing two things. One, when you receive it with gratitude, you're saying yes to more things like that coming, so that you can keep building towards what will give you that sense of safety even deeper. And you're also inviting the world to know that you're in a receptive mode. If you're not actually ready to receive, but you're asking for support, then what you're really doing, you're probably still in survival mode, and you're fighting. And picking fights. I really wanted that bread. So we start to look at how or where are we at when we're asking for support, and then what allows us to receive that? Graciously. Now notice I'm talking about when we ask for support. There's a lot of times when we've not asked and it's offered. That's totally different. Because a lot of times people will come up and they'll be like, hey, I think you could really use this, or I think this would work well for you and this and that. They might be projecting, you might not even need it. And in that point, you don't need to receive whatever they're giving. The point is that when you're asking for the support from somebody you feel safe with, receive whatever they are able and capable to give in that moment. How do we recollect and gather the pieces that are causing us to feel like we don't have our wholeness of safety, our wholeness of being, our wholeness of confidence and sense of self, in our empowerment, right? And as I was sharing earlier, a lot of times the reason that that happens is that we have divided ourselves into all these different layers and conditions and protections. And so the integration of something, and this is actually what I always share with my clients, that healing is not about fixing, it's about integrating. And integration happens first by taking a pause. You have to step back from the activity of life. It's similar to if you're going to the gym and you're working out all the time, your muscle doesn't actually grow until you rest, right? It's the same in life. You can be doing one yoga class after the next, the kirtana, breath work, or talk like this, and you're going, you're like, I'm gonna leave Bali really like having fixed everything that I thought was broken, and I'll keep going, I'm going. And then you go back home, you're like, well, that Bali trip sucked, like I didn't change. Because you didn't give time to integrate. Integration is the key. And like I said, the first step, you step back and pause. Give yourself the space. Now in that space, curiosity comes next. Start to notice what it is that's coming up. Start to notice where you contract or where you expand. And where you contract, get even more curious. Don't judge it or react to it. Just get more curious as to why did I contract? And if you can pinpoint, oh, because this is painful or dangerous or unhealthy for me, okay, wonderful. Shift focus. But if it's just that it's uncomfortable, that's normally most of the time what it is. There's something that's uncomfortable in your life. And discomfort normally comes from one of two things. Either you're growing, and that's creating the discomfort, or something is being let go, and that's also creating the discomfort. And so you start to release these things that are causing the stories to remain, that cause you to keep all the protective layers and the division of yourself. But we're attached to some of those things, because a lot of them were the reasons that we were feeling comfortable. You guys know the whole idea of the comfort zone? Well, to step away from that or to step into an expansion of it means that you have to be okay with change. And your brain, for sure, is not okay with change. The mind it has a very specific protocol, and that protocol is keep you alive. And its only reference point is what you've done in the past. And so it looks and it goes, okay, this is how we've been doing things, we're still alive. May not have been the best, most ideal life, but we're still alive. Don't change anything. But change is necessary because change is happening around you, and so we have to evolve with it. But the mind will freak out. And so you give it baby steps, right? You take time. This is where that patience comes in again. Instead of trying to leap the gorge in order to get to the other side of something. By the way, a lot of times the reasons that we think that we have an urgency or desperation or that we need to fix something so quickly and we have this great discomfort and we're reacting to it is because we're trying to avoid something instead of move toward what we want. Every time that we're in avoidance, there will be an urgency to it. Because that avoidance, it's this idea that the mind comes up with that says, this thing's chasing us. If I don't move, if I don't change, if I don't add something, create something, do something, this fear is going to catch up. Or this past belief or pattern or habit or experience is going to catch up with me. It's also why it's so hard to take that pause. But when you take the pause, a beautiful, magical thing happens. You step back, you pause, your mind is like, what are you doing? It's going to catch up. It's going to catch. It's, hey, nothing happened. Oh, we're okay. And you've diminished the story that was causing the fear, that was causing you to keep running and trying to do things instead of pause and integrate. Now, I know especially for many of you, if there are deep traumas in your past, very hard to be like, I don't know if I can just be still and let that stuff come up. Let it come up as sensation, not as story. Right? There's a wonderful book called The Body Keeps the Score that talks about these kind of things, that if we're repeating stories in our minds, that can be scary and not so helpful because it's just causing you to relive traumas. But if you're just feeling sensation, the sensation of fear to the sensation of excitement, almost identical. So feel the sensation and then let it move out of you. That's where the shake it out. Let it move. Do something somatically, physically. Go running, dance, breath work, all these things that we do here in Bali. Like, get it out of you. Sometimes with my clients, I just shake their hips and have them go like this and try to get them to make animal noises. They're like, I can't do that, that's embarrassing. And then they start doing it, they're like, woo! And all of a sudden, all the things that they were afraid of and they had all this trauma and all this contraction, they're like, this is hilarious! Just the same way that when you guys breathed earlier, that's how fast we can transition, shift things, transform. But we have to give ourselves the permission. And the permission is going to come in the form of both helping the mind be okay with change, and then actually taking action from that place of stillness, moving in response, not reaction. Response means that you are intentional about it, that you decide the direction and movement that you take and toward which you take. This is the key, and it goes back to this idea of avoiding versus cultivating, right? If you're avoiding something, you're looking at your history, your past, something that's occurred, and you're running from it, and you're running towards your future blindly. How many of you are having trouble figuring out, like, what's your next step, your path forward? Any of you trying to figure that out? Right. You know why? Because you're looking this way and it's that way, and you're like, I don't know where I'm going. Right? You're all cautious and scared about it. Just turn around. If you turn around, you'll get clarity. But to turn around, you have to have the faith that that thing you were so afraid of, that experience or trauma or memory or whatever it was that you're asking for support with, that it's not chasing you. It's only in front of you because you're looking at it. Turn towards what you want. And as you start to do that, all of a sudden, a magical thing happens. You start forgetting about the other thing. It doesn't mean that it didn't matter. It doesn't mean that it wasn't an experience that may have shaped you in some ways. But it means it's no longer what you're investing in. Instead, you're investing in what you want going forward. And it's so much easier to ask for support in that. Because then you might be asking for the support that's ahead of you, and you can have a cheerleader there that's saying, come on, you're almost there, and you're going, right? The image that actually just came to my mind is, imagine that you were climbing up a cliff and you started to lose your grip, but the person ahead of you is reaching out. But you're looking down because you're afraid of falling, right? So you're looking down and you're barely holding on, and they're saying, look up and reach out. And you're like, no, that's not the support I need. I need you down there. Go down there and catch me. It's not going to happen. You have to turn, look up, and with courage, reach out. That's the asking for support. It's to look forward towards what can help you move forward in your life, not what will solve your history, because nothing will. Your history is done. I see this so often with people, that they are trying to fix the past. Your history brings you to where you are. It does not make you who you are. Your choices do. And I see, even in the room now, emotion coming up, and trust me, I think it's beautiful. I go home all the time, and Christina always asks me, she's like, did you make anybody cry too? I'm like, yes! Because that is part of the shaking it out, right? Emotion is such a beautiful cleanse. It is also a big support. Because when it comes up, don't push it back down. It's coming up because it's been touched. Meaning something that maybe I said, or you felt, or you heard, or you remembered, or an experience in the environment, whatever it is, touched that piece that wanted to finally be let go, let it go. Easiest way that we don't do that, our mind gets in, it's like, ooh, what's this emotion? Why is it coming up? What does it mean? Don't do that, just let the emotion come up. Don't analyze it. Most of the time we don't need to know. Today's topic is asking for support. And if you've ever seen the movie, what's the animated movie called? Yes, Inside Out. Anybody seen Inside Out? I highly recommend it. Such a good movie. I can't really say what I was going to say because I don't want to spoil it for you. But just know that showing all your emotions is what actually allows for support, because that's how people know where you're at. How often are we hiding it behind a mask? right? You go up to somebody, you're like, hey, how are you? They're like, fine, everything's good. Okay, cool. Let it out. It's not really a problem here in Bali. You go up to somebody, they'll sit you down, they're like, let me tell you, it's been a day. Asking for support is actually so much more about expressing the need, allowing it to be seen, witnessed. Because what often happens actually when we do that, especially with emotion, is that all of a sudden, all the other people in that space that might have had something similar going on, or even if it's completely different but the same emotion was coming up, is given permission. And in that permission, they can start to move forward in their lives as well by asking for support. And as we start to drop into that, we realize that asking for support has so much to do with where we're coming from and how we're asking and receiving that. And in so doing, we have to sometimes let go of control. We have to allow the true expression of our emotions to move forward and into the space so that it can be witnessed, not just with focus, but also with our own forgiveness. Because when we do that, there's a certain grace, almost a gratitude that can happen. Because when you start to let things go, you lighten. You start to move into a better balance of things. And one of the things I notice so many people have trouble when they're not asking for support, it's because their self-love isn't there. That self-care that we used earlier to allow ourselves to move into more freedom. To move into a place where we're not alone anymore, but we're a community amongst all of each other. This allows for growth. This allows us to be in the integrity, the alignment of ourselves, instead of out of balance, deep in the places of our own contractions and fears and avoidances. But asking for support, just use your imagination for a moment. When you ask for support, what you're doing is you're asking for opportunities and possibilities that you may not have seen, that you weren't receiving because you didn't know that it was safe to ask for them. That you were actually allowed not just to receive it or to be constantly giving in your life, but you could actually be receiving. You could give yourself that permission to love yourself, not just your sorrows or your challenges, but to actually manifest without resistance the things that you really need. And then ask for that support. Without fear or judgment or shame, but rather with an openness that says, I'm a human being as well, just like all of you. And in that beautiful imperfection of perfection, when you ask for support, you're making connection. I think I'll end today with that. Thank you.